The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
There's a parable that's told of an old dog that fell into a farmer's well. After assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the dog, but decided that neither the dog nor the well were worth the trouble of saving. So instead, he planned to bury the old dog in the well and put him out of his misery. Well, when the farmer began shoveling, initially the dog was hysterical, but the farmer continued to shovel dirt, put dirt into the well, and every time the dirt hit the dog's back, a thought had struck him. It dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he should shake it off and step up. So it's still ringing a little bit. He did this blow after blow. Shake it off, step up. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. And he repeated to encourage himself. And no matter how painful the blows or how distressing the situation seemed, the old dog fought the panic and just kept shaking it off and stepping up. And it was not long before the dog, battered and exhausted, stepped up triumphantly over the wall of the well. What seemed as though it would bury him actually benefited him, all because of the way he handled his adversity. One of the commentators commentating on this actual parable, he said this: if we face our problems and respond to them positively, refusing to give in to panic, bitterness, or self-pity, the adversities that come along to bury us usually have within them the potential to bless us. Forgiveness, faith, prayer, praise, and hope are some of the biblical ways that we shake it off and step up out of the wells in which we may find ourselves. Family, when we face adversity, when we face even perplexity, not even sure how we're supposed to deal with this adversity, do we turn to prayer and praise? Or do we just fall into despair and disillusionment? Prayer and praise, or turn to anger and anxiety? Prayer and praise, or indifference, or even insurrection against our Lord? Do we know why we do this? Why this happens to us? Because many times as we go through life, we find that all is well. Life is good. Life is great. Life with my friends. Life with my family. Life in the church. Everything is great. And then one day, bang! All of a sudden, things just are not going the way we want. Things are happening. Problems, circumstances, trials, tribulation, adversity, all kinds of things will come up in our lives. The question is, what happens? What do we normally do? Because we are directed in Scripture for us to take joy when we face trials of many kinds, because the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we can be mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. Always got to say that. Always got to say that, because every time, a lot of times you hear, take joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, that's when we start tuning it out. The testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, because when it does, we will be mature, we will be complete, not lacking in anything. That's what we're supposed to do. And when our faith is being tested, the question is, then are we overflowing with hope? Many times we do not recognize this. Many times when we face trials, we face situations in our lives, we end up running from the Lord. Oh, we'll say a quick prayer maybe. Oh, Lord, you know, hey, if you think about it, help me out. But then we turn our backs and we start to try to figure out how we're going to take care of the situation ourselves. Many times we don't recognize this. We run from the Lord and we lose all that trials intend to build. Family, we have got to remember when it comes to adversity, when it comes to circumstances, when it comes to trials and tribulations, when it comes to these things, we've got to remember that most of the Psalms that were written were actually born in difficulty. Did you know that most of the epistles were written in prison? Most of the greatest thoughts of the greatest thinkers of all time had to pass through the fires of adversity. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress from jail. Florence Nightingale was too ill to move from her bed when she reorganized the hospitals of England. Do you know that the semi-paralyzed and under constant menace of apoplexy, Pasteur was tireless in his attack on disease, and oh, the lives that were touched, the glory that Christ receives by the ministry of one Johnny Erickson Tata. Come on, family. Look at what adversity brings. Look at what trials and tribulations bring when it comes to our lives and when it comes to the glory of God. All that we have lost, as I think about this throughout our lives and lives of people that I know, all that we have lost, all that we have lost, things that we have done in not facing our trials, that we not only robbed God, but we robbed ourselves because we gave up in times of suffering. We let go in difficulty. We lost hope in Christ. We stop trusting the Lord. Think of all that we lost when we gave up. All that we could have been today if we would have just suffered through the suffering. All that we could be today. All the glory that Christ could have received when we endure trials and tribulations. See, there is so much more to what is happening in our lives as Christians and what's happened in our culture today, and it's starting to really creep into the church family. We have allowed ourselves to be deceived by the world into thinking that our happiness, our success, and our comfort are the real goals and purpose of life. We have been deceived into thinking that that is why we are here. Happiness, success, and comfort. And our mentality is, hey, to God, if you'll help us, then man, you are worth it. You help me be happy. You help me be successful. You help me be comfortable in this life. And man, you are worth my praise. But if you don't help me with these things, then just get out of the way. Why do we do this? Why do we think this? But our purpose, family, we've got to always remember, and trials and tribulations and sufferings always brings us to this place of reminding us our true purpose. Our true purpose is to worship and to praise Christ. In trials, in suffering, in times of plenty, in times of want, are we bringing glory to Christ and enjoying all that Christ gives us? So today we'll see how our first and instinctive response to suffering should be and always should be prayer and praise in the midst of suffering. So let's take a look. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time, for this day, Lord. God, I pray that your word will accomplish its purpose this morning. It will penetrate our hearts and help us shine a light. Help the light be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is the significance of how, here's the big word, shigwanath, brings real significance to prayer and the prayer that's offered by Habakkuk in a time of peril. Second and lastly, we will see how the grace of God today is and always be, always will be sufficient for us. So our thesis statement today is this. Again, if you don't know the thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world causes us to be distracted and disillusioned to the point of faithlessness, it is the truth of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to grow in faith and to trust in the Lord in all things, taking joy in trials of many kinds, seeing Christ our Lord as more than worth it. Amen. Point number one, Shigionoth, sung with a kind of unusual excitement. So before we get there, just remember, Habakkuk's problems began with what he saw happening around him. So Habakkuk saw all the injustice that was going on around him, all the killing, all the pillaging, the robbing, the stealing, the raping, all of those things that were happening in Judah at the time. He's looking at all of these things of people who are acting this way, and he looked up to the Lord, and he said, Lord, how long are you going to permit the violent and the corrupt to prosper? How long are you going to let this stuff happen? How long are you going to let people get away with all of this injustice? And remember, God responds. And God answers. And God answered in a way that Habakkuk, if you remember, did not appreciate. God, what are you going to do about this? God, are you going to help us? And God said, I am raising up the Babylonians to deal with you guys. That's the answer. Remember, God says, I am raising up the Babylonians. It's almost like you kind of sense, right? Like Habakkuk was like, whoa, wait. Never mind. I thought this situation was bad. You send the Babylonians, well, it's going to be way worse. Just kidding. I didn't mean to ask that question. I mean, seriously, how could God use the arrogant and evil Babylonians as instruments to which he would chastise his own people? Even Habakkuk said, why are you using a people more unrighteous to chastise your people? And then God gives another answer. And he assured Habakkuk of God's intention to intervene. God says that he would indeed do something, but he counseled him that the outworking of his plan would occur on his timetable, not ours, his timetable. And to you guys, you are going to think that it's taking a long time. So God is even saying that. You are going to feel like it's taking a long time and nothing is happening. But I am telling you right now, rest assured, I am going to deal with this situation. And the message from the Lord also instructs that what those who live by faith, his people, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? All this stuff is happening. All this stuff is beginning to unfold. All these horrible things are going to start to happen to the people. And what does he want us to do? Trust. Trust. So simple. Trust in the Lord. He instructs us to be confident. In accordance with his promise, he will bring judgment upon the wicked. So what is Habakkuk's response? Habakkuk just heard it. God just gave it, told everything, assured him. Now Habakkuk responds to the revelation as one, let's say, whose eyes have been lifted from earth to heaven. Habakkuk responds with his faith, and it's no longer at unrest by looking at problems from below, or looking at the problem from the standpoint of human understanding. Why? Because God gave him his word. We don't have to look at circumstances. That's the thing that's wonderful about us as Christians today. We don't have to look at the world with human understanding. I mean, come on. Look at what happens when we look at the world through human lenses and through human understanding. Christians, we don't have to do that. Do you know why? Because God gave us his word. And when we read God's word, when we believe God's word, we are understanding things through divine understanding. And God gave Habakkuk his word. And so what we see now is the triumph of faith that's looking at difficulties from the perspective of God and not looking at our difficulties from the perspective of ourselves, of our culture, from the perspective of the lenses that we are given from TV commercials or what we see even online as to how we're supposed to see things, how we're supposed to look at things. I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but we're not even supposed to look at the world through the lenses that we see even through conservative news television. Hello. We're supposed to look at the world through the lens of Scripture. The situation was dire. The situation was bleak. The situation was devastating, depressing, disillusionary. But what was Habakkuk's response? Do you know what Habakkuk did? Habakkuk prayed and praised. He prayed to the Lord and he praised. He prayed to the Lord, and he prayed. Oh, man, here we go. Now, I know nobody in Central is thinking this, but some people watching on YouTube might be thinking this. Oh, man, here we go. Another one of those sermons. When you are going to go through a difficult time, here's the pastor up there. He's going to urge us to pray. And he's going to urge us to praise when things in our lives are bad. Here we go again. All the slogans. When life is hard, pray. When life has got you down, pray. When life gets in the way, pray. When you feel like you're in a maze, praise. When you feel like you're in a craze, praise. Hey, if you need help today, pray. Oh, man, here we go again. And some people might be thinking, hey, you know what? That's all I hear. That's all I've ever heard. And you know what, man? None of it works. Nothing ever happens when I do that, man. Nothing ever happens, man. So you know what, man? Wake me up when you are done. You have no idea what I have been through. You have no clue of my struggle. Unless you've got something more to tell me than just praying and praising, wake me up when you're done. And I get it. I understand. I see. I recognize this. I recognize this. I've counseled many people over many years, and I get this a lot. And it says, here is suffering. Difficult time comes. Well, you know what you need to do, Connie? You need to pray more. I remember one guy said, man, if I have another pastor tell me to pray more, I'm going to punch him in the face. But I want us to think about this for a minute. Think about this for a minute. There is one thing that you see here that's absolutely amazing. Habakkuk prayed and Habakkuk praised. That's what Habakkuk did. That's what we're seeing. That's what he did. Sure, family, I get it. We all got things that are bad in life. Family, we have all gone through serious things. I know some of you have gone through things that probably blow our minds if you actually told us about it. We've got floods that come into our lives, figuratively, for me, literally, in the last couple of weeks. We all have problems in our lives. We all got trials and tribulations. We all got situations. We all got circumstances. We've got problems upon problems. Hey, man, Shane, yes, you say you got problems upon problems. I got problems upon problems upon problems. You know, we like to play that game, right? The who's got it worse game. You guys ever play that game in high school? Or who got it worse? I mean, I used to think that, you know, we used to play that game in high school. Man, I hear people playing that game in the barbershop. Man, grown adults be playing that, you know, I got it worse. You mean talk about privilege and all this stuff. Man, I didn't even go to college. Oh, yeah? Well, I didn't go to high school. Oh, yeah? Well, I didn't go to school. Oh, yeah? I can't even spell school. I mean, Who's got it worse, right? We play that game. Who's got it worse? Well, you know what? Let's play that game today. When Babylonia came, and laid the smack down on Judah family. All of their valuables were stripped, ripped, and taken away. Their homes, their schools, their buildings, the temple was destroyed and burned to the ground. There was no food. There was no water even available. Not only did adults suffer and die from starvation and thirst, but they had to watch suffering children do the same thing. The scriptures even said that those who were killed in battle, or those who were killed by the cruelty of the Babylonians, those people were better off than those who survived and died by the sword of hunger and thirst. The scriptures say that even the nicest women of the city cooked their own children to eat to survive the siege. There were people, relatives, children, wives that were beaten and raped. Husbands and fathers were put to death in front of their own children, in front of their loved ones. Family, there was no comforts in life that were left after they were destroyed. There was no value of anything. There was no money. There was constant betrayals. There was torture, violence, brutality. And all those who had any kind of worth, ability, education, strength, skill, craftsmanship, or even leadership, all of those people were taken prisoner and taken to Babylon to be slaves for the Babylonian king. And all of this began, and all of this was to be for a time, and it will seem long to them. And what did we see? We saw that it actually took about 70 years that all of this stuff went on. Habakkuk and the Jews would actually see the worst of atrocities. Even some historians will say that what happened to the people that were witnessed by mankind, we have not seen anything more terrible and more horrible since what happened there. And with that, those who live by faith would continue to trust in the Lord. This is what the Lord commands us to do in these situations. That's how bad Habakkuk got it. So I know we've got situations, I know we've got problems in our lives, but that's how bad Habakkuk got it. And do you know what Habakkuk did? Habakkuk prayed, and he praised. Again, I can't imagine anyone having any worse of an atrocity than what Habakkuk and all of those people were about to face, or what they were facing at the time. He knew, and this is the other thing too that makes it worse, he knew that all of this is going to happen because God intended for this to happen. It was God who raised up the Babylonians to do this. And it was all going to happen by the hands of God. And the answer for Habakkuk was prayer and praise. So my thing today is this: if it's good enough for Habakkuk at the time, it is good enough for us today. I don't need to give us any secrets to this stuff. We don't need any secret ideas. We don't need some kind of ideology that comes from heaven. It was good enough for Habakkuk. It's good enough for us. But there's more. It is not enough for us to pray, and to pray in despair and in depression and in despondency. And people will say, well, Shane, I get it. Yes, I'm depressed and I'm despondent and I pray and all depressed and stuff. But you know what? At least I'm praying. No. Nah. The scripture is not allowing us to do that. It is not enough for us to praise feeling dejected, doleful, dreary, or in distress. Oh, but Shane, I'm still praising. You know, we're up there all depressed. Celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. Praying dejected, praying to pray. The scriptures are not allowing us to do that. But Shane, I'm still praising. The scriptures are not going to allow us to do that. It's the word. And in the New Living Translation, it actually will refer to it kind of in the musical term that the psalm was sung by the prophet. This prayer was sung by the prophet. In some of your translations, when you're looking at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, you will see the word shigionoth, to be done in shigionoth. Shigionoth is that word that's being used. And it's kind of an odd one. Okay, this is an odd one. Spend just a minute on this. More precisely in the Hebrew, shigayon. This is a difficult, scholars will say, it's difficult and almost impossible word to translate with precision. A lot of guys, the reality is that we just don't know. Though Hebrew scholars will say that the exact meaning of this word is actually not known, they are sure of one thing. They are sure that this is most likely a musical notation, meaning that this prayer is to be sung by the people. It is a prayer, but it is a psalm. Dr. McKay, he'll write this, Habakkuk was not just using the psalms as a model for expressing his thought. He was composing a psalm for Israel to use in her worship. So what Habakkuk was doing was he's saying a prayer, but he was writing a psalm here. It was something that was supposed to be sung. Now, what's interesting here is that the premier Bible expositor, man, if you can get any exposition, commentaries, anything that was written by F.F. Bruce, F.F. Bruce, one of the premier Bible expositors, he will actually translate the Hebrew shigayon as a prayer of Habakkuk that's to be done, and here's another big word, in the dithyrambic mode. I know, trust me, I'm going to help you, just bear with me, right? I got to say dithyrambic, right? You got to say dithyrambic, right? It helps me to look like I'm educated, right? Shigayon, a prayer of Habakkuk to be done in the dithyrambic mode. Yes, it is to be sung, but dithyrambic is kind of the idea is an unusual kind of excitement. So when you see here, it's talking about the prayer that's to be sung, but he's also telling us how we are to sing this. This is this right here, this psalm that we've got here, don't be putting it to the bagpipes and singing it as a whiner tune. No. We're not whining when we're singing this. This is not even one of those broken-hearted love song kind of tune, right? You know, don't be taking no country, Garth Brooks, Alan Jackson kind of, you know, we're not going to put the country twang on this stuff, all right? You are not to sing this like your dog ran away from home kind of stuff. It's not to be in that mode. It's to be sung in an unusual excitement, dithyrambic, an unusual excitement. Dr. Opama Robertson, he writes, it's to be sung in a kind of performance that would reflect the incitement that should accompany the celebration of a song, especially one with such a disturbing topic. With the horrors of wrath, the wrath of God coming in the form of the Babylonian Empire, we are to be diligent in our prayer and in our praise. And let me tell you something, I have written a prayer. I have written a praise that we should be praying, that we should be singing. But man, let me tell you something, it needs to be done with genuine excitement in what the Lord has planned. Wow. Huge. That's the one little deal right there. Just a little exploration on what that word means. Just opened this whole thing up to something absolutely extraordinary. Inspired by God, the Word of God is telling us, sing this psalm. But when you sing it with excitement. Be excited for the Lord. You guys heard what was about to happen. Habakkuk. It was told by God. What was going to happen? This whole thing was going to go down for 70 years of absolute, utter destruction. All of this stuff is going to happen. And Habakkuk is saying, our response is to pray and to praise And man, you better have a smile on your face when you do it. Don't be coming to church and singing this song all depressed and all beaten down and then go over to the Bronco game later and be cheering and screaming like a maniac. Mm-mm-mm. You go to the Bronco game with all that depression stuff. Don't come in to my house singing this song without excitement within your heart. Wow, Shane, so what you mean is not only are we to pray and praise the Lord, but you mean we got to do it with a cheerful attitude, with a celebratory attitude, an attitude of gratitude with all the stuff I'm going through? Yes. Are you kidding me? No. It's hard enough to do this as it is. I got to be cool with this. But see, that's the whole deal, isn't it? And here we go. You guys ready? Here we go. Because if we really believed that all of this is in the hands of God, if you really believe that God is in control, if you really believe that God is a good God, a God of great compassion, great mercy, and God knows what is best for us, if we really believe that, that's exactly what we would do. And think about it. As a Christian, isn't that what we want? In every and in any possible way, Christ can be more glorified. Isn't that what we want? If here is a situation, a horrible, awful, awful situation, but God is going to be glorified, isn't that what we want? And don't we rejoice in that? Doesn't that make us happy? See, that's the thing. The thing when it comes to Scripture, when you really, really look deep into this, I mean, you don't really have to even look deep. It's just pretty much right there. Isn't the ultimate goal, isn't the ultimate reward that Christ is glorified? The best gift that God could give me is that Christ is glorified. Isn't that our ultimate goal? I mean, we look at circumstances, we look at situations, we look at things, we look at rewards, we look at all this stuff. Isn't it ultimately about Christ? The greatest man, Jesus says, the greatest man that ever lived, the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth was John the Baptist. Jesus said, no other greater. John the Baptist did an amazing work for Christ, did he not? And he heralded the coming of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Here it is, done all this stuff. John the Baptist was faithful man. John the Baptist did an amazing work for Christ. Tell him what he's won, Bob. Have you guys ever thought about that? Let me tell you, oh, John the Baptist, let me tell you what your reward is for this. How did John the Baptist die? For the dancing girl. Emily. Ultimately, the life was successful. Why? Because it glorified Christ. And I'll tell you one thing, man. John the Baptist is up there content. Content. Why? Because Christ was glorified. If we really believe this, would we not praise and trust? If we really believe that God was in control, if we really believe that God had our best interests in mind, how we handle our circumstances and tribulations will show what we really believe about the Lord. We would if we really believed it. Oh man, we are truly quick to find a reason to pray when we are saved from praise, when we're saved from tribulation, right? I mean, just think about this. We praise God when God saves our house from being destroyed. But will we still praise God when our house is destroyed? Oh, I heard a gasp. Or was that somebody just coughing? I didn't hear enough gasps. Yeah, God saved my house. Praise the Lord. But what happens when a tornado hits the house? It's completely destroyed. Are we still going, praise the Lord? Come on. Will we still do this? Family, do you know how hard it is? Norberto, you're going to find this out. Do you know how hard it is to find sermon illustrations that illustrate this point? You can't even find stories that people want to tell about people who are praising the Lord after the destruction. Oh yeah, you'll hear stories about people praising the Lord, and because they praised the Lord, God didn't destroy the house. Oh, you got tons of those. Hundreds of those will pop up, but you will not hear any. I can't even find those things, man, online, where people are celebrating, praising God after the entire town was destroyed. Do you know how hard it is to find those stories? And where God does essentially nothing in this situation. But you know what? I found an illustration for us. I didn't find it on Google. Didn't find it on sermonillustrations.com. I didn't find it even in Preaching Today, which is Christianity Today's thing. I didn't even find it in Christians Today. You know where I found this illustration? I found this illustration in the Bible. Here is a scripture that I think that people don't even think this scripture even exists in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. He's talking about what happened to you. Do you hear that? Do you see that? These people were beaten. Oh, I'm sure they prayed, Lord, please don't let me get beat down. But they were beaten. Oh, Lord, please don't let my valuables, please don't let my house be taken. Don't let my family members be tortured. Don't let my family member be thrown into prison. But they were. And their things were taken. You know how, you know, just certain things in life. Oh, Shane, man, I lost a couple thousand dollars in the stock market today. I just don't know how I'm going to survive. I just don't know how I'm going to live. Life is over for me. Everything was taken from them. Everything. Stripped of all that they had, all that they owned. And they continued to praise the Lord. Today, we lose hope and trust in Christ when we pray for relief from suffering, but then we end up having to suffer. We pray against ridicule and abuse, and when we get it, we lose hope in Christ. When we help other people and we suffer with them, we wonder why God will allow this to happen to us. So now we don't want to help other people anymore. We pray that God will protect all that we have and pray that God will give us more. But when all that stuff gets taken away, when we lose it all, we don't get what we need, we lose hope in God, and we are not faithful. Why do we do this? Do we accept it with joy? Come on, let's be honest. Many might actually accept it, but we don't accept it with joy. You know, I've had counseling sessions like this where I'm talking to people about this kind of stuff. And essentially the response I get is, fine, I'll eat it, but I won't like it. No, no, no. The Bible is telling us you need to eat it and you need to like it. Why? This is why many of us lose our hope and practice of prayer and praise. And when we don't pray with enthusiasm, but we just go through the motions. Many of us do not worship the Lord with enthusiasm. We just go through the motion. We don't pray with passion. We don't worship with passion. What happened? Do we not have confidence in the Lord anymore today? Again, our response to suffering and difficulties in life truly does tell us what we are made of. It shows us what is really real about what we really believe. If we turn from God, think about it, just give me a quick example. We turn from God when we face difficulties and get no relief, then it shows that we really do not believe that Christ is Lord. But what we actually think is he's an absentee life Lord who is not doing a good job of providing a good life for me. If we turn from God when we don't get from him what we pray for, it shows that we really don't believe that Christ is Lord. But we thought that Jesus was a genie in the lamp that's supposed to grant my wish. Rub the lamp, genie pops out, ask for a wish, you don't get it. You put the genie back in the lamp. Stay in there. 10,000 years more. Here's the other one, family. When we turn away from the Lord in a time of great suffering on a large scale, then it shows that we were hoping that there really was a God. But since nothing happened, then maybe there is no God. Or maybe we believe that God exists, we just don't think he's a good God. I've had one individual tell me once, "No, Shane, you absolutely got it all wrong. You got it wrong, preacher man. I absolutely believe God exists. I absolutely hate him." It shows what we really believe. He hates God because he doesn't believe God's a good God. And the reality of what it is to be a Christian is not about how we get a life without suffering. It's about how we handle a life of suffering. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. Some teachings that we get out there just, you know, about how to avoid all of this kinds of things and getting away and good life now, all this kind of stuff. You all know who I'm talking about now. You know all that stuff. That's not what we get in Scripture. It's not what Scripture teaches us. It's not about become a Christian, and if you become a Christian, you will get a life without suffering. No! If you become a Christian, you are going to have a life of suffering. Because the point is not whether you get it or not. See, I think that's how we judge Christians today, right? I mean, if you see like an individual, hey man, that guy is going through a lot of trials. That person's going through a lot of suffering. That person must be a really sinful person. He's just getting what he deserves. All the suffering. We tend to judge individuals by whether they have suffering or not. When in reality, Scripture is putting us in a position, we're not supposed to be judging people, but if we are, it's not whether we have suffering or not, it's how we're handling it. Going through the worst atrocities in life, but yet still praising God. Going through the worst situations that you've ever faced with in your life, yet still praising God. Yeah, you've got a fiery furnace for me, man. I'll tell you right now, God will save me from it, but let me tell you this, even if he doesn't, I am not going to bow down. I mean, because come on, everybody can say, man, I've got great faith. Man, we walk around as Christians. Yeah, man, I've got, life is good. God is good. God is great. I mean, walk around life, just everything is good, everything is fine, everything is great, and you worship God, singing worship songs all day, all that stuff, and whoa, suffering happens, dropping down upon you like Job. And the next thing you're doing is shaking your fist at God. Why? Everybody can have faith before suffering, but we will find out if you really do when suffering comes. When times of difficulty comes, prayer and praise is a natural response from those who have their hope and trust in Christ. If you don't pray and if you don't praise, where's your hope? It's preached this way. I know, and I get it. I was talking about that. You know, hey, he's going to preach a sermon on praying and praising. It's preached because it's true. Prayer and praise is the response for those who live by faith. If we don't want to pray and we don't want to praise, then we probably don't have faith in Christ. If we don't pray and we don't praise, then our hope is in something else other than the plan of God. It is in something else other than God. The horrors that were coming for Habakkuk, the horrors that were coming for Judah were truly horrible. And after he heard the declaration of the Lord, his response was prayer and praise, and not in a distressed and depressed prayer and praise, but a praise with excitement and jubilation. Prayer and praise is all we have. That's the answer. Shane, all throughout that gigantic book in the Bible that you've read, when I'm going through difficult times, the only answer you have for me is prayer and praise? Yes! But family, it's the answer we have because it's the only answer we need. Why? Because our source is way more than enough. Way more than enough. So today, family, don't lose your confidence in Christ today. Yeah, things just aren't working right for a lot of us today. I know a lot of us are going through difficult things. I know we're going through difficult times. I know there's just certain things that are just getting you to the brink. I see it, I understand it, but my prayer today for us is that we don't lose our confidence in Christ today. We don't lose our hope in Christ today. The truth is not seeing the power of God keeping us from suffering, but seeing the power of God getting us through the suffering. Come on, I mean, seriously. Seeing the power of God getting us through suffering. Because seriously, think about it. Being kept from suffering. You know, everyone being kept from suffering. That is the ability of everyone. Oh man, I'm really good at being kept from suffering. I mean, think about that, right? I'm really good at it. I'm sure all of you are really good at being kept from suffering. I know my kids are super good at being kept from suffering. We're all super good being kept from. You know who else is really good at being kept from suffering? Unbelievers. Unbelievers are also really good at being kept from suffering. Everybody is really good from being kept from suffering. As Christians, not about being kept from suffering. It's about the world looking at us and being like, oh my Lord, look at what that individual is going through. That person should be cursing God, but instead, they're praising God. That person is worshiping God. We're going through suffering. And why not? Why not? I've said this before many times. For us Christians, why? Why not suffering? Oh, God lets them go through suffering. Why not? Because if you are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit is with you. You can go through anything. See that? So I love the way C.S. Lewis says, why do Christians suffer? Well, why not? We're the only ones that can. Wow. Power in that. So much power in that. We have so much more in store for us.
Do we believe that? Don't lose your confidence today. Whatever you are going through, Christ is more than enough. Don't lose your confidence. And do you realize, family, when we're going through trials, we're going through situations, some of us are going through some of the most difficult things that people on this earth have ever had to go through. And when we're going through this and we're saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, when we are glorifying Christ, when we are praising his name through the midst of the suffering, you know what we are declaring to the world? We are telling them that Christ is worth it. I'm going through the most horrible things, but you know what? Christ is worth it. Family, don't lose your confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Don't throw away this confidence. Trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he promised. And he goes on, and you know what the author of the Hebrew does here? He quotes Habakkuk, for in just a little while the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful one whose souls will be saved. Family, don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your hope in Christ. Remember the great things that are in store for us. Remember all we have in Christ. Remember all we want is Christ. Remember all the good that the Lord has prepared for us. Family, don't lose your confidence in Christ today. So much in store for us, right? I mean, if we are Christians today, we are co-heirs with Christ, are we not? If you are a Christian today, you are a co-heir with Christ, which means that you are a king and a queen in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know the Bible says that we will even rule over angels? Right? So, we know we're going to heaven. The angels and our Lord, they also know we're coming to heaven. And trials and tribulation is training. It's helping us to develop. It's helping us to be shaped. It's helping us to be more like Christ. It's helping us to grow in wisdom. It's helping us to grow in knowledge. It's helping us to grow, to become a good queen in the king and a good king of the kingdom of heaven. And you got to understand, I feel for the angels up there. We're going to rule over the angels. I got a bit, there's a bunch of people looking like, yeah, man, I just found out Shane is going to rule over our sector. I don't want no fool ruling over me. I know I make a joke out of that, but seriously, that dude didn't go through no trials. Every time the trial came, he took off and run. Oh, man, it's going to be some eternity for us. But see, that's the problem that we are faced with today, isn't it? Shane, man, I hear you, but you know what my struggle is? You're right. Faith. I struggle with faith. And let's be honest today. Some of us will say that. Shane, I struggle with faith. I struggle with trust. I have trust issues for sure. And you know what? Christ knows this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? This is the problem with sin, the problem with the flesh. Sin distorts and causes us to become disillusioned and to put our trust in other things. Faithlessness causes us to be idolatrous. We don't trust in God, so we start looking for other things to help us through these circumstances. But here's the thing, family. In Romans 14:23, if you're saying, hey, man, I'm struggling with faith, man, I just don't believe in these things. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You are not supposed to be faithless. And the wages of sin is death. But family, today our Lord is faithful. That's the promise that we stand on today, isn't it? That our Lord is faithful. That His plans did come to fruition. You can look back through Scripture and see that the Lord did deliver the Israelites from captivity in Babylon. They did come back. All of that stuff that they were hoping for actually did happen. And family, we need to know this, that the promise that He made, that He would send His Son to be a sacrifice, that promise did indeed happen. And Christ rose from the grave. And it's through Christ's life and through faith do we become just, because the just will live by faith. That's why, family, even for me, every single day I pray Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Family, salvation is here, and it is here because of the wonderful person and the work of Christ. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Family, salvation is here. Amen. Salvation is here because our God is faithful. Remember, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And the wonderful promises continue for us. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God rose Him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is here. Salvation is real. And the power of the Holy Spirit is here to help us to bring glory to Christ. And when we go through suffering, praying and praising with all joy and excitement, we truly bring glory to the Lord. And let me say it again one more time as we close. We are showing the world that we believe that Christ is worth so much more than all the comfort and riches that this world could ever offer. When we go through suffering, we're declaring that Christ is worth it. And family, He is so much more than worth it. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.